Odo. Hey, we give you all the praise. All the glory belongs to you. Whatever you can do for the Lord, you can go on your knees, you can roll on the ground. Whatever you can do for the Lord, lift your voice, lift your voice, lift your voice. Ayata, begin to minister to God. Begin to minister to God. Ayamana makasha, ikwala to salabata, ikwala to salabata. Iguala to salabata, iguala to salabasora, asha, lift your voice, lift your voice. Sarato,
hallelujah.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul, worship His holy name. Higher. Feeling like never before. Oh, my soul, I am a masona. Worship His holy name. Minister, can we speak it together? Say, bless the Lord, bless. Oh, my soul. Ayabaka, worship, worship. Sing like never, sing. Oh my. Kaka, worship. Jesus. Sing it again. Say, bless the Lord. Where He sends me, I will go. My soul says yes. Hasha says yes to your will. When He calls me, I will answer. Hasha. Where He sends me, I will go. My soul says yes. Hayata. says yes to your will. My soul says yes.
My soul says yes.
Say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes.
Say yes. Say yes.
Heaven consciously, everybody. Lift it up to heaven. Come on, consciously, everybody. Lift it above your head. Lift it above your head. And give Jesus the loudest hand clap in your life. Give Jesus the loudest hand clap in your life.
Hallelujah.
Is that all you can do for the Lord? Is that all you can do for the Lord? Is that all you can do for the Lord? Some of you ain't even clapping. You can add a shout to it. You can add a shout to it. You can add a shout to it. Come on, come on. You can run around. 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 I am a car. David said, I was glad when they said, let us go into the house of the Lord. Somebody run around and shout, yes! Are you ready to praise God? Are you ready to praise God? Try your neighbor, keep me space, keep me space. Are you ready? He's done so much for me. I don't know about you. I cannot tell it all. What do you say? Wait, wait, wait. You are covering their voices. He's done so much for me. I cannot tell it all. Pastor, say! I like this side. I think I should hear from this side. If I have 10,000 pounds, it still would be enough. Everybody say, I love it. Alright, can we go now? Let's push it. One, two. Done so much for me, I cannot tell it all. Everybody say, if I have 10,000 tons, it still will be enough. Everybody say, Chukuna wanna relay when you heal, you heal completely. Much for me. Hey. I cannot tell it all. Everybody say, if I have 10,000 things, it still would be enough. Everybody say, when you feel you feel completely, are you ready?
Fire, 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 fire,
Are you still ready? If you are ready, leave your seat. Run around. Give the Lord a shout. Okay, this is my testimony. Listen, I'm here to tell the world of all he's done for me. I give him all my praise. Oh, I'm here to testify of everything he's done. What do you say? Can we do it? Otokwa kataka, turn my life around. They are not dancing, no. I give him all my praise, oh, give my hand and let your good. I'm here to testify of everything he's done. You say, Otokwakataka, turn my life around. Hey, Otokwakataka, turn my life around. Hey, turn my life around. That is 2 minutes, Abby. Okay. Are you ready? If you're ready, just stretch your two hands forward. Put it like this. Put it like this. Again. Again. Look to your neighbor. Say your neighbor is walking. If that one not the answer, you look to the next one saying they walk. If that one not the answer, look to the one behind saying they walk. Oh. Are you ready? Now the key be that. You don't ready. We're not ready. This I want key for myself.
Hey, for myself.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a shout this morning. The shouting side is the winning side. Give the Lord a shout. Hallelujah. This celebration will not cease in your life. I said this celebration will not cease in your life. If God that has begun a good thing will perfect what He has started in your life. You are going back another man. He said, they that knew him before, they were asking him, is he the blind man? Some said, he's the one. Some said, he's not the one. The man said, no, I am he. So those that knew you before, after this encounter, they will not know you again.
Amen.
The same people that have mocked you and asked you, where is your God? You will not be the one to announce your God. Your God will be announcing himself.
Amen.
If your amen is louder, you are the one I'm talking to.
Amen.
We are going to pray for nations, but before we go back, I just want us to pray one or two prayers. The scripture says something. He said, two people build a house. But the Bible said, one build on a solid land. And another one built on a sanding soil. Do you know that the two buildings were standing? You don't know what you are building until storm comes. It's the storm that reveals what you have built. The building may be standing for years. It may be standing for decades. But when storm comes, the real identity will come out. You know, you can cast out demon, but you cannot cast out character. Demon can be cast out, but character. You are going to pray. Oh God, may what I am building stand in the time of storm. May what I am building stand in the... Whether you like it or not, ministry, storm must come. Oh. No matter is praying for you, let nobody deceive you. Storm must come.
Uh-huh.
You can't escape it. The Bible says, yet though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you are not jumping over the valley, you are walking through. You are going to pray, Father, in the midst of storm, help me so that what I am building will be standing. Storm must come. Lift up your right hand above your head, everyone. If you love prayer, God said to me years ago, when prayer becomes your choice, answer becomes your food. Anytime you pray, you are depositing something in your bank account. You are dropping something there. There may be seasons that you don't pray, but that is when you want to withdraw. You go there and you withdraw. Say, my father. Please pray it from your heart. Pray it from your heart. Listen to me. Nobody knows you more than you know yourself. You can pretend to others, but you cannot pretend to yourself. Even your wife may not know you, but you know yourself. That's the major reason you need to pray this prayer. Father, that which I am building, when storm comes, may that thing stand. Say, my father, God answers prayer.
Oh, God answers prayer.
As I pray now,
as I pray now,
help me to build a ministry.
Help me to build a ministry.
That will stand in the midst of storm.
That will stand in the midst of storm.
Help me to build an assignment.
Help me to build an assignment.
That will stand in the midst of storm.
That will stand in the midst of storm.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We're going to pray, which is the final prayer. I'll make us understand certain truth. Do you know, sir, that a man called Elijah prayed also fell, and he landed on Elisha? But the question I ask myself, sir, do you know, even before the double portion came, he never prayed one day? Go and read your Bible. He didn't pray one day, but double portion fell on him. Why? Because he served well. There are things, sir, that service produce for a man. I don't need to go to the mountaintop to look like those that have climbed the mountaintop. When you are connected, you must collect. The Bible said, out of the belly shall flow the river. Not tap, not well, not tanker. The rivers never dry. You are going to pray and say to God, Father, help me to serve you well. Some of us, we are serving our tummy. Some people are serving because of fame. Some are serving because of connection. But only few are serving because of God. We are going to pray, Father, help me to serve well. Help me to serve well. A man has never prayed fasting for one day. Actually, all I knew about Elijah was to wash the hand of Elijah. That was all I knew. There was no day the Bible told us he went to the mountaintop to pray. There was no day the Bible told us he had fasted. All he was doing was to wash the hand. And double portion came upon him. And you have climbed blessed mountains and nothing has happened. Fasted prayer, nothing has happened. So I'm already an altar because of fasting. It's because you are not serving well. Father, help me to serve well. Do you know when he was crossing River Jordan, I believe the river was looking at him and said, small boy, you are crossing this river. Let me see how you will come back. The river was mocking him because his father was present. And the river knew that the father is not coming back with him. But He never knew there is something the Father will leave for him when he's coming back. And the Bible said when he was coming back, he saw the river, he looked at the river. He said, I am not qualified to pass this river. Where is the God of my Father? He didn't speak in tongues, the river opened. Many of us are struggling because we are not serving well. We are going to pray. This is the final prayer. Help me to serve God well. Father, help me to serve you well. Help me that my service will not be wasted. Help me that my commitment. Listen, you don't know the importance of umbrella until it gets to rainy season. You may think you are anointed until you see trouble. You may think you carry fire until you see what is called fire. Lift up your right hand. Lift up your right hand. Father, help me to serve you well. Say, my Father, my Father.
My Father, my Father.
God answers prayer.
Oh, God answers prayer.
As I pray on this mountain.
As I pray on this mountain.
Help me to serve you well.
Help me to serve you well.
Help
me the double portion
of your anointing.
Of your anointing.
Rest on my head.
Rest on my head.
Up your head.
Up your head. Up your head. Up your head. I pray for you under grace that your service will not be wasted.
Amen.
Your commitment to God, your commitment to grace will not be wasted.
Amen.
That God that changes status and changes people, may that God visit you.
Amen.
And in all, may you end well.
Amen.
Clap those hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm going to pray for nations. Please, let's welcome Pastor Dan as he leads us through to pray for nations. And I believe that God is going to intervene on their behalf. Please, let's clap those hands together as he comes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Can we all stand on our feet in reverence to God and honor to our Father? Can we all stand on our feet? We are men of God. Hallelujah. In the spirit of prayer, we are going to pray for nations. The nations I have here are Nigeria, Cameroon, Ghana, Sierra Leone, Benin Republic, and Liberia. There is something that is quite common in every nation. And if that is imposed, the gospel will have limitation of oppression. That's why Apostle Paul admonished us in 1 Timothy chapter 2. He said, first of all, prayer, supplication, giving of thanks be made for kings and those in authority. For kings and those in authority. Because they can decide what may happen in a nation. Therefore, we are going to pray for Nigeria. We are going to pray for Cameroon. We all know what is going on in Cameroon right now. And it takes the prayer of the saints to stop the advancement of wickedness. So we are going to pray. Remember, the Bible says in Psalm 125 verse 3, it says the rod of the wicked shall not rest on the lot of the righteous. Therefore, we are going to pray that the authority of the wicked will not rest on the advancement of the gospel in these nations. Are we ready to pray? Can we take up the prayer by raising up our right hand of fire? Let's say, my Father, my Father.
My Father, my Father.
My Father.
fire by power.
By fire by power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
By the power of the Holy Ghost.
Every political authority.
Every political authority.
Every humanic authority.
Every human authority.
Opposing the advancement of the gospel in this nation.
To stand against the advancement of the gospel in this nation.
As we pray today.
As we pray today.
Break the authority.
We pray the whole.
Break the authority.
We pray the whole.
Let's open our mouth and tell you. Pastor that led the opening prayer, he said, when prosperity is not in place, serving God well is required, because prosperity pushes the gospel beyond human ability. We are going to pray. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes 5:9, it said, the profit of the earth is for all. Every nation, if our father could survive in this town called Auschwitz, we can survive anywhere. Like Papa will always say, there is no hard ground, there is only hard men. We are going to pray. In any nation, all these nations, every one of us came from either of these nations, that every prophet that belongs to the gospel in those nations, we are taking them by fire. Nothing is denying us from taking advantage of the prosperity in those nations. Are we ready to pray? Let's raise our hand of fire. Let's say, my Father, my Maker.
My Father, my Maker.
By fire, by power.
By fire, by power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We decree and declare today.
We decree and declare today.
Prophet that is due for every minister in this nation.
Prophet that is good for every minister in this nation.
As we serve, as they serve in this nation.
As they serve in this nation.
The land is delivering their prophet to them.
The land is delivering their prophet. Let's go.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We are still praying for these nations. But we are going to continue to pray for the ministers in those nations. Remember, Bible says righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. When voices of ministers are shut down, evil prevails. We are going to pray. Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 4, he said, continue in prayer. And he said, pray also for us, that the word of God might have a free course, that the doors of utterance may be opened unto us. We are going to pray. Our Father preached a message, open door, open utterance. Now we are going to pray by the power of the Holy Spirit, that every pastor, every evangelist, every apostle in these nations, that God will amplify their voices. Everywhere they speak, people will bow to the voice of heaven through them. Are we ready to pray?
Yes.
Say, my Father, my Maker.
My Father, my Maker.
By fire, by power.
By fire, by power.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We decree and declare today.
We decree and declare today.
We under the authority of your servant, our Father. Apostle Justice Tulip.
Under the authority of your servant, Apostle Justice Tulip.
Every minister in Nigeria.
Every minister in Nigeria.
Every minister in Cameroon.
Every minister in Cameroon.
Every minister in Liberia.
Every minister in Liberia.
Every minister in Sierra Leone.
Every minister in Sierra Leone.
Every minister in Benin Republic.
Every minister in Benin Republic.
Grant them an open utterance.
We give that an open utterance.
That your voices may be heard.
That your voices may be heard.
Open your mouth.
La curi copori atta. 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 La curi copori atta.
In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Let's lift our offering above our head as we give to God this morning. Just lift your offering above your head and speak to that offering in your hand. Just lift it and say something. Let grace speak on your behalf. Father, let this offering put an end to every suffering. Let this offering, Lord, fast forward. Lord, my harvest. Open your mouth and take something. You are not giving because others are giving. You are giving with an understanding. Just take something. Just take something to that seed in your hand. Lord, as I drop this offering, I speak, Lord, let my heavens be open. Let me enjoy that which you have ordained for me. My past will never be better than my future. Thank you, my Father. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. As your hands are lifted above your head, your life is lifted above poverty. That God that blessed men, may that God visit you. This offering will take you to another level. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray.
If life no money, send me a much when I fall, take it if I am. If peace of mind and money, send me a much again when I fall, take it if I am. If promotion and money, oh, send me a much again when I fall, take it if I am. You see, no be bad power, Lord. No be bad power, Lord. Now the question comes. I said, no be bad power, Lord. No be bad power, Lord. I'm going to do a more. I pray my God to do one for me.
Free of charge.
I pray my God to do one for me.
Free of charge.
I pray my God to protect me.
Free of charge.
I don't think he can be my humble Lord.
Free of charge.
I pray my God to do one for me.
Free of charge.
I want you to know it is not he that will let
you go.
Not of he that runneth to war. It is the Lord that
showeth mercy.
It is not he that will let
you go.
Not he that runneth. I turn upon the torment. Keep it in our body. Tell me how much I get when my God take it by a war.
Oh,
man. kele. Ome mana re kele gima. Ome mana gona re kele bo. Ome mana re kele. Ome mana re kele. Ome mana re kele.
I would try my best by the help of God to be as elementary as possible. We handle basic. You will discover that there are few men apart from Abraham that when the Lord was introducing them in scripture, he introduced them and their wives. Abraham was not even introduced with Sarah. God called Abraham. God called him out. Verses later, Sarah came in. But this is one verse we see as God was introducing the man. As scriptures were talking about the man's commitment, the wife's commitment was also ranking side by side. So this is a couple that is worth studying about. Elizabeth was a pastor's daughter, because the Bible says she was from the tribe of Aaron. She was the lineage of Aaron. And the lineage of Aaron are those who were given custodian as Levites to take care of the house of God. So she grew up, she understood it a lot. And sometimes when a man is getting married, background matters. There are some things we are going to address. The minister, as a politician, you don't need a good marriage to succeed. Know how to lie. Just know how to tell lies. So if you are a Nigerian politician, just lie. Say, I will put gold in your toilet, which is not supposed to be. As a musician, you don't need a good marriage to release a song. Many musicians in the secular world have marital crisis. As a lecturer, you don't need a good marriage to lecture in the class. There are many professors who are divorced. But as a pastor, you cannot succeed in ministry without a good marriage. Because ministry does not begin in the pulpit, it begins in the home. If God calls a man, his first member is his wife. If God calls a woman and he says, God has called her to save the world, and she has not ministered to save her husband, then her calling should be questioned. There are so many issues you are seeing today. The marriages. Please say this after me. My ministry will not destroy my marriage. My marriage will not destroy my ministry. Hey, you didn't say that word. Say, my ministry will not destroy my marriage. My marriage will not destroy my ministry. Before ministry, before the work of God, it is the home first. The way some people carry ministry is so important, and marriage they carry is so less important, is a crisis. I relate with my wife with the consciousness that this is my number one member. Our spiritual life means a lot to me. So I have to be careful so that my action and attitude do not become a stumbling block to our spiritual growth. There is a way a man will treat his wife. She will be too broken to pray. She will be too bruised to pray. She will be too down to pray. And there's a way a woman will treat her husband, that no matter how anointed he is, he's always depressed. There are so many issues that kill a home. A man can go to the mountain, go and wait on the Lord, go and fast and seek the face of God, and yet, while leaving the house, he has not spoken to his wife. Leave the mountain. Leave the mountain. Come to the valley and talk to your wife first. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. He said, deal with your wife according to wisdom, so that your prayers, likewise your husband, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessels, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. How you treat your wife is how God treats your prayer. If you are keeping marriage with your wife, don't pray. God is not answering it. If you have grieved and her heart is broken, we are going to balance this thing.
and her heart is broken, that period, don't bother to pray, don't bother to fast, don't bother to preach, don't bother. Settle first. Because you have no message that time. Some people are preaching, they are preaching, and their wife is heartbroken. They talk to her indirectly from the pulpit. There are women, daughters of Jezebel. The Lord will deliver some men from daughters of Jezebel. He's talking to his wife. Just the way God Almighty replaced Queen Vashti with Esther. That's how God will replace them. Your Esther is coming. Then the wife gets angry. The only day she's permitted to lead prayer. She said there are men that are evil. Just the way God visited Abigail and took away Nabal and brought David. Your David is coming. The members are on the receiving end just watching free movie. What are the reasons? I have a lot to share. What are the reasons why we see problems in marriage? Number one, bad foundation. The truth is that once a foundation is bad, there is little or nothing you can do. Entry point matters a lot. Bad foundation. Can I be free? Can I be very free? Can I? Okay. There are people who married their wives because of sexual attraction. It can't keep you home. Today you are crying. You are saying you are tired. You can't be tired. What attracted you was something temporal. Bad foundation. There are people who got married to their husband or to their wife because they felt that God called them to be evangelists. So they need a person who is a good singer to back them up in praise and worship. So they need somebody who can back them up. So they saw the person in the choir. And they forgot that there is something called attitude and character that shows up after singing. There are pastors who were growing up, I know many. When they were growing up, they say, I must marry a working class lady. I am full time, my wife has to be working. And the period they were engaged, she was supporting him on this work of God. She was supporting him. Buy him suits, carry cooler to his house, help him to buy amp because he was working. As far as he was concerned, he felt he would continue. Finally, she lost her job. Then he now sees who he married. A pastor, a lady met the pastor and said, in the place, I need a future partner. So the man was praying. After a while, she was the manager of a small bank. She now told him, he said, they have given us a visa lottery we won. And they say we are permitted to go abroad to America for a month vacation. And we can go with our spouse or any family member. And it's going to be happening in September. That was in May. He said, please, pray for me. Let God settle me between now and then. This pastor was single. The pastor held a hand. He said, I need to ask the Lord. The next day he came, he said, don't pray anymore. The Lord spoke to me that he actually brought up us together for a time like this. He married the lady around July. Around August, the bank was distressed. The trip was cancelled. The man said, no, I'm not marrying. And they said, you must marry. You have won a ring. When the foundation is bad, the problem is that your entry point into marriage matters a lot. You are attracted to that man of God. You say yes to him because you saw him as a prophet. You saw him as an anointed man. By the time the prophet now entered the house, you saw a different person. You don't marry a gift. This is the problem. That is why you see some marriages today. You bind, you counsel them, you talk to them, you advise them. They can't be peace because the foundation is bad. And Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundation be destroyed, there's nothing you can do. It's nothing. There are some marriages that can't be remedied. They need grace to just sustain them. Bad foundation. Some get married under bad foundation. Some get married because of pressure from family. Family put pressure. They put pressure on them. You are the only son. Your mother says, do you want me to die without carrying my children? There is one girl I know. Do you want me to die without carrying my children? A girl who was raised up well by the parents. You need to consider her. So there's pressure. Pressure. Some of them also pressure on themselves. I have a work. People are coming. They will respect me if I don't have a wife. So I need a wife. Have you not seen that before? Eh? What I'm going to be telling you is true life. I'm not here to tell you Greek and Hebrew. Today is practical. So I'm not here to tell you Greek and Hebrew. There are pastors who like a particular kind of lady. She has to be fair. Some like a lady, she has to be tall. Some like a lady, she has to have a particular shape. Let me say this to you. Anybody can be any shape. When there is something physical you want, when there is something physical you want, another form of bad foundation is manipulation. When the devil fires an agent from hell into your life, there are women who enter a man's life from the pit of hell. Their assignment and their mandate is to send him to extinction, to ruin him. There are men who enter a woman's life from the pit of hell to ruin that woman. There are people that enter people's lives and they have a specific assignment. A specific mission. Bad foundation. Bad foundation. Good foundation is friendship. Your wife must be your friend. Build friendship before you build spirituality. Look at what we see in the life of these people. They were devoted together. You can't help a spouse spiritually when you don't love her physically. You can't have a partner spiritually when you don't love him physically. Friendship. Fruit. Fruit. Attitude, character. Conviction by the Holy Spirit. Marriages are broken today because of lack of friendship. One of the traits of friendship is communication. Communication is a major trait in friendship. So if you are saying you have a partner, you have a spouse who is your friend, your communication is solid. You don't stay a whole day, you don't stay so long without dropping a word. Communication empowers friendship. Honesty. And there are people that will never in life advance a cause. Advance a cause or progress in life because their spouse is greed. She is grieved. He is grieved. Another thing that will help a minister to have a good home is brokenness. 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 There are people that are not broken. There are women, men that are not broken. In Psalm 57 and verse 17, Psalm 57, 17, the Lord was talking to us and telling us the sacrifice that God desires. A broken spirit. In Proverbs 34, 18, who is on the console? Bring the scriptures out as I'm calling them. Psalm 57, 17, Proverbs 34, 18. God also speaks of brokenness. Many ministers are not broken. In Hebrews chapter 4, if you read from verse 15, it says, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. We have not an high priest. Your wife is begging you for 5 days. You are not an high priest. Nothing touches you. Tears don't move you. She will cry. She will beg. She will plead. He said, Jesus, our high priest, he can be touched. You can be touched. What priest are you? Low priest. There are women whose husband offended them. 5 years! It hasn't left them. A woman woke her husband up. Woke him up in the morning. Around 4 or 5, the man woke up. He said, why did you wake me up? He said, today is our anniversary. Of what? He said, it was 5 years ago you cheated on me. Exactly today, 5 years ago. Today is the anniversary. Have nothing touching, no pleas, no beg, no apology. Your heart is hardening. You are not broken. Your wife said, this thing doesn't make me happy. You can't stop it. This particular person, I'm not happy. Said, do your worst. You are not broken. It means nothing to you. Do your worst. Your husband said, this character is what hurts me. This is how I am. In fact, all my sisters were like this. Even my mom, before she died, she was like this. If you even looked at my extended family, you know that my mother's children are even better. They are worse. Same character. It's the nature we have. With the nature that we have. Check most. I'm going to say something. And listen. There is what they call feminism. Check most feminists. Feminism is this act of being equal. Say you are equal with the man. You are equal with the man. You can do without a man. You can do without a man. The man is nothing. Feminism should not be equality. Feminism should not be equality. Am I talking to somebody here? You can never be equal with a man. In office, do you know you cannot run any organization when everybody is equal? What organization can you run where everybody is equal? No boss, no assistant, no deputy. Are women under us? No! We are equal in creation. We are equal before God. We are equal before our children. We are equal before society. But in the organization of marriage, we are not equal. Somebody has to call the shots. Not to be a bully. Not to downplay the wife. But you need to have a head. And that's why I repeat it all the time. That no feminist can be a good Christian. We are going against the word of God. That's the truth. The Bible says submit. It's in scriptures. There's nothing you can do about it. The Bible says submit. That's what the Bible said. And check most feminists. They had a failed marriage. They had a failed relationship. So they are now trying to endorse their mistake by saying they don't take nonsense from men. Hallelujah. The word of God explains to us in Ephesians 5. We'll check that later. But in Colossians 3,
If you read 18 and 19, God made it clear the duties of both parties. Wives, submit yourself unto your husband as it is fit in the Lord. Whenever you submit yourself to your husband, it is not him you are submitting to. You are submitting to the Lord. People kneel down to greet their husband. It's not him. It's the Lord. Verse 19. Husband, love your wife. Be not bitter against them. Don't harbor bitterness. Unbrokenness. You are so arrogant. Nobody can talk to you as a woman. There's no discussion you have had with your husband that it ends well. The man doesn't, he has to use people to talk to you because both of you have a discussion. Your voice is louder. While your husband is talking, you are talking. While he's talking, you are talking. So he doesn't talk anymore, and now you are complaining, he's not talking. When he's talking, you don't let him talk. There are women that can't listen. They determine the tone you talk to them. Why are you shouting? Why are you shouting? Why are you shouting? Must you shout? You bring your voice down. Talk if you want to talk. Talk out. Talk out. Everything's a problem. Okay. Now, is it not okay? Somebody's correcting you. You are determining how he should correct you. You are not ready to be corrected. They are correcting you. You are determining the tone. Is it this moment that you are shouting? And you even woke me up at night. Can't we say it in the morning? So, we now have the time of the day when we correct people. we now have the time of the day. And it's very important. Because people are not broken. That is the problem we have. I have seen a husband and a wife talking. I was looking at both of them. The man said, stop, let me talk. The husband said, hold up, let me talk before I forget. She will stay at home. The man said, have you finished? And like, Papa, just remember, now let me talk. I said, this lady needs to know what is called sanctification. When the fruit of the Spirit begins to control your emotions. What I'm telling you is what is happening. You can never. You are not broken. If I give an instruction in this church and my wife was not there, maybe to a group, and she comes and gives a contrary instruction, for example, she wasn't there when I said what I said. I said, nobody should do this or do that. And she comes and says, no, you have to do this. And I'm told, I don't talk about it. I don't call and say, you didn't ask me what instruction. Those issues are too petty to be discussed. They're too petty. I don't talk about it. Sometimes they say, who did this? He said, who's that? It was Mama that said we should do it. Okay. Let you go. You have a call. Some people look at the members, say, hey, this ministry, who is the overseer? Is it me or are you so stupid? Is it me? I don't talk about it. They say, Mama, I say, okay. No problem. Because that's your number one member. You see, women, let me tell you something about women. Women are what you make them. If you give a woman care, she will give you concern. If you give a woman peace, she will give you tranquility. She will take in the peace. It enters into her, she gives it back to you. You give her good money, she goes to the market, use it, she will give you food. You give her semen, she take it 9 months time, she give you a child. You give her problem, she take it in, she give you wahala. Put your hand on your forehead, say in the name of Jesus, I receive brokenness. I receive brokenness. The home. Ministers have problems in their home. Number what now? Okay, I'm not writing. You're just writing like that without number. That's nice. Okay. Minister number four. Any number. Ministers have problems in their home. because of selfishness and stinginess. There is selfishness and there is stinginess. Selfishness is when you cannot give to people. You cannot spend on people. You have. You can't spend it on them. And stinginess is when you have. You can't even spend on yourself. Some pastors are selfish. Every money they give to their spouse must be accounted for. Every month, to the last cobble. As the man is explaining. You say, wait, there was a 70 naira you escaped. There was a 70 naira you didn't talk about. That 70 naira. For what? Once in a while, dash your wife money. Don't ask that question. Wait, say, for what? I just dash you. That thing will mean a lot to her. If to you, it's more. Say, I'm just dashing you this. If every morning the woman you are giving, some pastors and some men, all their wife owes them, is feeding money. If their daughter give you money, that's no money. Feeding money is not money. It's not your wife's money. Feeding money is our money. It's not your wife's money. It's our money because you are eating from there. That's not. Well, give her her own. So for what? Just you. Anything you want to do. And please, as you give her, forget it. Forget it, oh. There are men that give their wife money. In 3 years, they are still talking about it. February, I gave you money. What do you do with it? Give her. Some people are putting their heads down. Hallelujah. I say hallelujah. I made it a point of duty to dash my wife money every week. She has been shouting, yes. Every week. I think I'm taking. Work. Every week. I just say take. I don't ask. That's not money for food, though. It's for you. Just take. See, eh? There is a way you'll be wicked to a woman in real life. You will see her in your dream. You now say she's a witch. She's not a witch. She has been trying to get your attention to change you when you are conscious, to change you when you are awake, to change you when your senses are working. So she couldn't. She will pray to enter your subconscious when you have no more willpower, when you cannot argue. At least when you are sleeping, you cannot argue. So she will enter that dream and begin to pour her heart to you. And you say she's a witch. She's not a witch. Stinginess. Pastors that collect change. Pastors who can never buy new clothes for their wives, but they buy for themselves. The man is changing suits. The wife is there. The only wrapper that your wife has that is good is the last wrapper of like 2 years ago, and it was for a burial. You are a wicked man. You are a wicked man. Some pastors will even take care. In fact, you see a pastor talking on the altar, you pick up a member. You say, I'll pay your school fees. The wife is shocked. He has money. She's not even aware that the man has money. He's paying rent for people. Meanwhile, his mother-in-law has not paid rent. Charity begins at home. He's helping people and his family. The wife's brothers and sisters are stranded. Be wise. You have to be wise. And God just laid in my heart that I should give this to you. And the wife has been begging for more than a month. He said, I don't have. That man is taking ministry more important than his home. When there is a challenge in ministry, it's only your wife you have to cry to. Am I talking to somebody here? So men are selfish with money and they are selfish with their body. I'm waiting on the Lord. You don't stop waiting on the Lord. The man is coming to say, stop, I'm fasting.
It's okay. When will you come down? The waiting time now. You are not coming down this period, though. So we are not coming down this period. It's very serious. And look at the church. Can't you see empty chairs? You are supposed to be spiritual. Your wife can't even tell you when she wants you. She can't, because the response you give, the way you will answer her, even if she's dying, she would rather keep quiet and maintain her self-pride. Your wife comes to you and she's asking her, my husband, you know now. See, go and read Romans 8. Flesh, 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 flesh. You are of the flesh. That's selfish. But when you want it, there's no Romans 8. When she wants it, Romans 8. Some women too are selfish. Selfish. Your husband has to beg. 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 You tell her you are waiting on the Lord. You tell him rather you are waiting on the Lord. The man will plead. Why are you doing this? Husband and wife, they are discussing on the bed. 1 hour they are begging. It's like a constitutional conference. Please now, please now, please now. You must say, you are a pastor, you are a pastor, you are a pastor. Respect yourself, pastor, respect yourself, you are a pastor. What kind of immorality is this? Immoral with your husband, say, are you not a man of God? If I know I'm a man of God, my body is doing that. Go and take your bath and sleep. Pray, pray, pray. Pray. Say, pray, pray, pray. Go and pray. And that's a crisis. I hear that all the time. All the time. All the time. Stingy and selfish women. Only their emotions. The man will plead. The man will buy gifts. Will buy gifts and beg. She will say, okay. No, okay. Before evening, I'll check if I'm in the mood. Enter. Enter mood now. Enter! It's a problem. You are fasting in church. You are waiting on the Lord. And your husband is dying at home. All his hormones are on. And you are there praying. Woman of God, go back home and lift up your head, O ye gates, and let the King of Glory come in. You see, we are laughing, but there are some men who are dying silently. And the same woman, he sees the man begin to gravitate towards his sister in the church. She starts war. For you have opened up the room for the devil. You have opened the room for the devil. Are you following what I'm talking about? Are you following me? What is it? You now have timetable. You and your wife. Timetable for sexual intercourse. Every Tuesday, 7 to 8. Every 29th of the month, 10 and 11. So by the time the husband comes home, the man, when he looks at his watch, he's 10. He's running off. Because once he enters 11, you are like a bacha. Nobody can convince you. So he's running home, running home. He's running home. If he's taking a bike, okay, move, 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 move. And the man rushed. By the time he gets home, 5 minutes after 11, oh God. You tell your wife, sorry. You see the wife look at the husband. 5 minutes late. Sleep. You know, when you have a bad model, your pastor's wife is a member that counsels you. Or talk the way some pastor's wife relate with members, they won't bring their husband's issue. And table before members. Little thing, you are tired. Little thing, you are tired.
You are living. You are living. You are living. You are living. If you leave, what happens to this man that you claim to love? Then you have demonic attack. Homes are broken because they have demonic attack. The devil targets good couples. The devil targets good couples. Couples that have a future, couples that have a tomorrow, come under the attack of hell. Fierce attack of hell. Let's examine some pastors' complaints, some general complaint of pastors, general complaint of their wives, and general complaint of their children. And how to draw the line. There are some men of God, it is a pattern. Their wife only fights them on Saturdays. It's a pattern. The wife can't get Sunday service. The man is too discouraged. She will nag him. He enters this room. She follows him. He enters here. He won't study until you answer me. You won't study. The man is in pain. Pastors complain. Pastors complain that their wives don't show interest in their assignment. Not every pastor's wife is called to be a pastor. There are some pastor's wives who are called to pastor their husband at home. Not every one of them is called to be a preacher. Not every one of them is called to go around the world. Do not call your wife if God has not called her. There's a place she can occupy. We're going to talk about that. That she can occupy in the ministry that doesn't have to be preaching. Don't force her. Because you saw another pastor's wife that's doing well. That preaches. So your wife must preach. Your wife must preach. You say, look at that one. Can't you see how she's doing? Your wife says, I don't have the call. You have it too. You will discover it. You have it. And you now go to the market. You now buy a hat. And she has not worn hat before. She's used to beret. You now wear a hat. You give her suits. She wear a red hat and wore a white suit. You now give her costume. High heel. She's trying to hold the mic. The hat fall. Why? Because that woman of God you see or you saw, she has to wear a hat. So you have a replica. You are trying to reproduce what you have in your mind that she is not. Pastors complain that their wives attack members. Their wives confront members. Anybody you feel. Let me say this to us women. Even if you have problem with self-confidence, don't let your members see it. Because if they see it, they will work on it. If I'm talking in my office with a lady, or I'm standing talking to the lady, my wife doesn't come there to come and stand. Some pastors are that's who they come and stand. Now, I don't know. You saw me now, you can't talk again. Talk now, I'll be talking. You are bringing yourself down. You are bringing yourself down. If you have trust issues with your husband, you have trust issues with him, members should not see it. Because when they do, your respect drops. And you, pastor, for your wife not to trust you, what have you done? What have you done that the trust is dead? That's another complaint of some pastors. My wife is always suspecting me. My wife is always suspecting me. She's suspecting you because some things have happened before. So when he sees anything that looks like it, she's worried. I don't know if I'm saying something here. Especially when your wife tells you as a man of God, as this person that is this in this position, I don't want it. You insist on keeping the person in that position. Then you start raising room for suspicion. Say, this choir mistress, she can be in the choir, but not as a leader. You say, she must be the leader. even if there is nothing going on, you have raised room for suspicion. Oh, this secretary, I'm not comfortable with her. This person is the best secretary that I have. You have to live with it. So there are issues between her and that person. Do you know a woman? Women have this intuition. A disaster that will happen 20 years' time through a person, they see it in advance. Their intuition tells them. A man can have a disaster under his nose, he won't see it. Under his nose, like this, he won't see it. But women have this ability to sense something, to see it coming, and say, be careful. Don't argue. When they say be careful, be careful. They say be careful, be careful. They see a Jezebel, they know. A thief knows a thief. A woman knows a woman. I've addressed that pastor complaint that the wife uses sex as a weapon against them. The wife complains. Pastor's wife complains that the husband values ministry more than them. He doesn't value them. It's ministry. In my house, we don't discuss ministry. At home, it's a law. We discuss home. I don't pray for people in my house. If you die and they bring your corpse to the gate, go to the church. My house is not the house of God. My house is my house. God said, I will build my church. This I will build your home. My house is my house. I do not do it. There are people with critical cases, will bring them to the gate. Ah, you are serious, come and say, me, come out. Take them to the church. It's a law. Because if you make your home a church, you make your home, anybody walks in and collect prayer and do that, disrespect has come. No value for the man of God. Members, enter your kitchen in and out. Enter your wife's room and your husband's in and out. No respect. If there's something I've learned in life by reason of certain things that have happened, is there are people you do not give undue privilege. People can't manage privilege. If I must give you certain privileges, you must earn it. You must earn it. And that's why it appears that I'm controversial, sort of. Someone sent me a message and said, Papa, I'm coming to Auchi for the first time. I would like to meet with you. And I replied him politely. And there are many sons that I have that I've not met with. Keep coming. Keep coming. You need to earn it. When I meet with my sons, I can meet you. You need to earn it. There are people who have been doing coming regularly, year in, year out. If those ones want to see me, I'm available. You just came and you want to be a son, pass through the right channel. So it doesn't appear that faithfulness is not rewarded. I wish I was talking to somebody here. Oh, that is something just happened now. And I need to come to the house. Who is this youth president? Okay, I'm on my way to the church. Daddy, I should come home. Wait in the church. Oh, that is something just happened. Who is this? I want to talk to mommy. What's that? And the choir did it. Okay, I'll tell her. She'll come to the church. Wait. No, it's urgent. Wait in the church. She's coming. Are you listening? There is one thing a man of God must not do. Be careful how you give people access. That's why I'm not comfortable. When people say we started the ministry in our sitting room, I feel uncomfortable. It will grow, quite all right. It will do well, quite all right. But there is the proximity brings disrespect. And always check such ministry. The foundation members who started in that living room, don't stay. There's nothing for them to stay now. They have seen everything. The foundation members who started, don't stay. They walk away. The church grows. It is fresh people. that comes, because those words, familiarity has brought contempt. It happened in the time of Jesus. Jesus was preaching, his feet were hurting, he was in pain. The disciples saw that pain. He has transgressed the obstacle and they could not help him. They felt so unconcerned. God brought a stranger called Mary Magdalene. He broke an alabaster box and anointed his feet. Familiarity has brought contempt. The disciples saw a feet that was sore and did nothing about it. Pastor's wife complained, my husband is too close to one sister. Let me tell you a story. There was a pastor's wife who cried to me and said I should talk to the husband as well as the matter. If the pastor wants to buy anything from the market, from the shop, he gives money to his secretary. The secretary buys the foodstuffs the wife cooks. He said the wife is very bad with money. She doesn't know how to use money. So he gives the secretary money. Anything she wants, she has to collect from the secretary. So I called him to come. And he told me, and he gave me all his reason. All his reason. How the wife wastes money. The wife will buy what is already at home. He gave me all his reason. And when he was done, I explained to the wife our own fault. And I told him as a pastor, I said, when a person, an opposite sex, begins to keep something for you, your emotions are building. You are on your way. You said, look at it. Before God, I said, I know, but you are almost there. You have collected the form. You're about to feel it. So when and I have to explain to them, I said, because no matter how a partner is deficient, how a partner is having challenge, a third party is not an option. Pastor's wife complain, their husbands don't carry them along, doesn't give them access to minister. My husband is killing my gift. When I was a girl, this marriage has killed my ministry. I can't remember when last I had microphone to preach. As a woman, you don't need mic to preach to prove your ministry. One person that God uses you for will announce your name around the church. Are you following me? One person. There is a level of gifting. When your husband gives you a microphone and is begging you, they will write paper for you. They will write paper. Mommy, round up. You read it. You squeeze it. The spirit is moving. Reject distraction. Reject distraction. They will write again. Mommy, 15 minutes more. You look at it. Reject distraction. Reject distraction. The Lord wants to bless some people, but there are agents in our midst. Your husband will not write. My wife, time is going on. This is to two. That's how you hold the mic. Say after me, nobody can kill your gift. People that are always eager to, are always lovers of the microphone. They love the mic. Give them a permanent assignment. They'll be tired. Permanent. The wife loves the mic. Don't argue. Tell her Tuesday power service. I hand it over to you. After four of such meetings, she will tell you she's tired. Say Tuesday power or Wednesday deliverance meeting. Wednesday word and then say you carry. And if you want to make it very good, make it a vigil. Only her. She will start by 11. By 1, she's looking for you. And when she's tired, make sure you leave the altar. Enter the crowd. Let her not see you. She'll be looking, praying and looking for the husband. She's looking for the man. She can't find him. Pray. You want Mike? This is Mike. This is you. This is people. Go ahead. I'm telling you, secrets have been proven. Somebody came from a wedding. The wife would drag Mike. He called the wife to bless offering. The wife said, lift up your offering. Begin to speak. Speak every strong man containing my finances. Speak. To bless offering. She said, in Jesus' name, amen. We are going to pray that prayer concerning our offering. That, oh God, I will not go lesser than this. I will not go lesser. Speak. They had issues. So the man started calling the assistant to bless the offering. The wife was angry. They brought themselves. And I said, you should wait. I called the man. I said, you know what you're going to do? He said, no, sir. I said, you do vigils, monthly vigils or weekly? No, he said, they do two. One is for workers, one is for church. So I knew that church own was a risk. You can't use a novice because you are trying to test her to on that kind of risk. So I said, the workers will let your wife handle it. He said, I don't understand. So I said, yeah, let her handle prayer throughout. You come to round up and make sure it gets to 5 a.m. He said, he did it first time. So when we get into one, he said, the wife was sweating. She has all the prayer points are finished. Message are finished. Hold on, let me tell you what the wife did. He was on the altar there, still praying. He was just going along. Said the wife came to him. Said, you know I'm struggling. You are looking at me. You will help me. He said, no. All night. That was it. Now, if he calls her to bless up, he said, must I come out? Somebody else can do it now. Must I come out? Some pastor's wife complained. This is very funny. Some pastor's wife complained that their husband feels threatened by their anointing. See, their husband feels threatened. My husband knows that when I ministered, what happened? So because of that, he blocked my ministry. He blocked me. Give her microphone. She's your wife. Let her minister. I have a son whose wife practically, in fact, when the wife gifting goes down, the man is angry. Oh, come. Start to talk to her. I don't know what's going on. Don't know what's going on. The gift is just going. Nothing's happening again. We'll pray. She's depressed. We'll pray. God, use it. He's pushing the wife. He says that he's a teacher of the word. The wife is in the prophetic. He's pushing the wife. He said, that's your gift. Me, I'm a prophet. I'm a teacher. When he's teaching, he'll tell you, if you have a problem, I won't say anything. No, it's only Bible I see. But my wife can see. He pushed her. Give your wife the opportunity. Give her. But no woman should get so proud and think that the husband is threatened. That is pride. My husband is threatened by my gift. So women complain that their husband don't show care. There are some pastors, everything about them is in the spirit. If they want food from their wife, they stay spiritually. They don't say I want to eat. They walk with their cash, sugar bar. I've been waiting on the Lord. I want to break now. So even have sex with their wife is spiritual. And they're pulling their clothes. Raka pascha. In the act of sex, the wife must not say any other thing than Jesus, 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 Jesus. If he say any other thing, they stop. Where do you learn that from? She must be, Jesus, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Their wife must know, spiritual man. So the wife in the act, she cannot be free. She can't be herself. If their wife, people send a text, I love you. They can't reply that, I love you. The wife said, says, I love you. He replied, it is well. Where in here? Where in? this is it. Oh, my husband is a man of God. He's not romantic. No, everything is spiritual. Your wife did a birthday last year. What did you give her? King James Version. Bible Compendium. You gave her. If you go out, any book you buy is to address what you perceive is the character she has. There's nothing natural about your wife. There are pastors now that don't even know their wife's the size of her shoe. They don't know who makes her hair. They don't know where she stops. They know nothing about the woman. All they know is the Bible. Bible! Say, Papa, if it's not the word of God, I'm not interested. My concern is the word. No romantic, nothing. Your wife frowned. You saw it. You pretended. You can't ask her, what's the problem? These things are elementary. But it means a lot to a woman. It means a lot to a woman. Appreciative attitude. You are done making love with your wife. Listen, I'm going to say something that is funny. You are done making love. Tell her thank you. You are looking at me because you paid that. How much did you pay? 40 naira. The money you paid on your wife, you have to check that money. You have finished it though. You have used more than that dowry. A pastor's wife cried to me, as was the matter. He said, in the art of love making with his wife, the wife said she likes silence. The man must not say anything. So the man will be dying. He'll be holding himself and start making terrible sound. He wants to talk more. He remember the wife, she don't talk. So he's there. So the man told me, he said, Papa, I'm tired. I said, I don't understand. The woman said, no, I don't want distraction. I'm doing something, I do it, and I go. Why? No passion, no emotion. She's doing it because it's like she has to do it, not because she's interested in it. Say, but sir, if I give her money, sir, you see the tigress in her. She's motivated by what the man can give. And the man is in ministry. He's seeing all kinds of people. They are gravitating towards him, and the devil begins to give him an idea. I wish I'm talking to somebody here. Amen. Amen. Some pastors have complained also. My husband praises others, appreciates them, but never appreciates me. He can appreciate these people, appreciate that sister, appreciate that department, but I've never stood on the altar one day to appreciate the support and the love of the partner. What is the line? How do we draw the line? How do we draw the line? As a minister of God, you must love your wife or love your husband unconditionally. Unconditional love facilitates peace in the home. It's not built on anything but on Christ. Unconditional love. Unconditional love. Number two, let Jesus be your model. Let the words of Jesus keep playing in your heart. The words of Jesus, the words of Christ. As your partner offends you, the first thing you see, the picture of the first thing you see is Christ. Your wife does something, you feel like fearing her. You see Christ. You open a website, like I say, www.jd, what will Jesus do? In this situation, what will Jesus do? Your husband says certain things to you, and the first thing that comes to you is that the Lord brought him to me. If he's perfect, God won't bring him. God saw this attitude in him, but God brought him so I can manage him. Jesus is our model. This morning, my wife wanted to talk to me about something. And I told her, I said, no, don't bring that up. You are putting your head down. You are writing, okay. About someone. I said, no, I don't want to. She pleaded. They want to talk to you. I said, no, they don't want to. I don't want to talk to anybody. It's going to take my time. I'm rushing to church. I said, no, it's past. They should leave it. Tell them I'm not angry. She said, it's important. So I convinced her. I won. I convinced her, she left. And the Holy Spirit told me, you won. You can win a bruised woman. She's quiet but not happy. So I noticed that, okay, that she said was not from the heart. She just said it so that, okay, my husband, you are Lord. When she left, I wore my clothes, followed her behind. I said, hey, can I speak? Can we talk about it? Not because he showed anger, but that living, something inside me said, this person left unhappy. How can I pray? So let me go. Let's have it sorted out. There are lots of women sad. Please, you have prayed about this man, prayed about him, he won't change. Please, look up to Jesus. Let Jesus become your model. Let Jesus hand him over to Christ. The woman complains that the husband only comes home from minutes to 12 p.m. every night. From minutes to 12 p.m. every night. And I told her to take a pen and I said, write this prayer down. What was the prayer? Father, give my husband a problem that only coming home early can solve. Give him a problem that only coming home early can solve. As he prayed continually, she was praying it. One day, some minutes to 6 in the evening, she was hearing horn on the gate. Pee, 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 pee. She ran out, opened the door. The man, lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate, lock the gate. The man, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. What happened? He said, I was sitting with my friends. When some people came and opened fire, this one is gone. The other one is injured. I sneaked to the car. They started following me. Anything late night. Anything. Hand him over to God. Paul handed over another believer to Satan. He said, I've handed over to Satan to buffet him for a while. Forgive and forget. Ask the Lord to help you to forget. Forgive is easy. To forget, you need help. Because the enemy keeps playing it. The enemy keeps playing it. Anything you see looks like the pain you once went through. Any form of compartment looks like the pain. Looks like what happened before. You are seeing all the signs again. Because in your head, not that the signs are there, but in your head, you are interpreting them to be this time. That's how he received call in the night. That is how he called in the night. That's how they talked to him. That's how that one happened. I'm seeing call again. So even if this one is genuine, pray together. Have something that's binding you and your partner spiritually. It might be a particular day of waiting on the Lord. It might be a particular day of vigil. Maybe a particular period of studying the Word of God. Have what binds you together. Intercede for one another. Intercede. You know, when God, in Ephesians chapter 5, let me ask you a question. Who do you think the home rests on? Who does the home rest on? Huh? If you say the woman, let me see your hand. If you say the woman, raise your hand. Raise it. Wave it. Put it down. If you say the man, let me see your hand. Wow. Few of you. If you say the woman, raise your hand. Put it down. If you say the man. Alright, let's check. Ephesians 5. Let's check. If you are a son of the prophet, and you said the woman, you will look for who your father is. Ephesians 5. I saw Holy Spirit make us hand now say, the man. That's his son. Those of you that raise up your hand, I mark you. Those of you that said the woman, you should you tell me who your father is. Ephesians 5, verse 21. Okay, verse 22. Have you seen it? Wives, let's read it together. One, two, go. Wives, submit yourselves unto what? As unto one verse. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is what? And he is the savior of the body. Number two. Therefore, the church is subject unto Christ. So let the wife be what? To their husband in everything. Three verses to the women. Let's go to the man. Husband, love what? Your wife, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Number what? One. That he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Number two. That he might present it to himself, a glorious church, and having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Number three. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth not his wife, he that loveth his wife, loveth himself. Number. For no man yet hated his flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Number what? For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bone. Number. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. Number. The person you spend time speaking to more is the person you are giving an assignment. God was talking to the man. Eve ate the food. God came. God said, Adam! Hear that now. If a home will stand, the wife has 40%, if not 35%, the man has 65%. Is the word of God. God puts home. The man that can put his foot down to say this will be or that will be. Sexual satisfaction. You read 1 Corinthians 7, 2 to 5. It's very, very important. There are women that are too spiritual. They are too spiritual. And, you know, there are women, listen to this. There are husbands and wives. In the act of sex, they only have one way. One traffic. That's how it's done. That is how it's done. 15 years, no change. Political parties have changed candidates. Church have changed standboard. In the act of sex, it's just that pattern. You only kiss your wife when you want to have sex. You don't do it randomly. No, you must wait. Your wife is coming to say, hey. In the night. You know, you don't know that love making actually begins in the morning, not the night. There are attitudes you put on your wife, see the green light, you know where you are going. And she's ready for it. Then you just pounce on her like a rapist. By the time your wife is in the kitchen, she's cutting onions. You come close to her, you help her to be cutting. She's smiling, my husband. You are doing perfect. He comes there, he helps you. My wife, you are sweating. She's cleaning the sweat. You are energizing her. You just is in the kitchen, just walking there. Like a village headmaster. How are you? Bless you. When you are done, upstairs. I'm taking too much time now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
The wives complain. You can help each other by focusing on your scriptural growth. Scriptural growth. Your ability, as your wife communicates with you, as your husband talks to you, you check his utterances, you check his statement, you check his growth in the word of God. Because this thing is the only thing that can break a man. This is the only thing. Fasting can't do outside it. The day a woman or a man begins to believe and take this word to heart, it will break that person. It will break you. Psalm 57, 17. Bring it up. Psalm 57, verse 17. Psalm 57, 17. Or Psalm 34, 18. Psalm 34, verse 18. Who is on the console? The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such that be of a contrite spirit. Broken. You are easily touched. You are easily approachable. Amen. Then we have the children. What they complain? The children complain. Pastor children complain. That their parents are overprotective. Overprotective. Be careful how you meet with members. You are a pastor's child. Be careful. We put a barrier. We give the children an impression that the day they mix with somebody else, they become victims. So they mix a little bit and nothing happens. So they go further. You are a pastor. You are a general overseer. You are a part of a branch. Allow your children to have friends. But let it be friends that you know. Let it be friends you know them where you can recommend them to be friends with people. Let it be people you know their parents. Their marriage is in order. They fear the Lord. You can't stop them from having friends. You can only control the kind of friends they have. When you cage children for too long and pass that victim, their children always have a place they stay. They can't mix up with others. They don't talk to anybody. They don't relate with anybody. Children are complaining. Our parents are always fighting. Pastor's children see the father and the mother, their own parents. They are combating themselves. And that is what the girl has grown up to learn. There's no good model even in the house. Pastor's children complain. We lack time with our parents because they are always busy. I'm busy. I travel always. But I harass my children until they pick up phone. Sometimes when they don't pick, I'll tell their mother, "This girl is not picking up. What's going on? I'm coming." My daughter will say, "Daddy, I was tired. I know you don't have anything to say. You want you to start asking me, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay?" Daddy, that time you normally call somebody. Somebody is sleeping on. You think everybody is like you that don't sleep? Sometimes I'll call them 1 a.m. Daddy, why are you awake? I say, "I'm praying." "Oh, Daddy, continue praying. I'm sleeping." We have what we call time out with Daddy. My kids and I will sit down. I'll tell them stories about life. Tell them, their mother does it. At the time when she's talking to them, they're crying. All our children, pastor's children, never assume your children are born again. Lead them to Christ. Don't assume. She grew up in church. No. Once my children, all my kids, when they get to 5, we sit them, we tell them the reality of heaven, the reality of hell. They say the sinner's prayer, the altar call. Don't assume. They are complaining. My daughter said to me, said, in her school, they asked her, "Your father is always traveling. Don't you feel it?" He said, "No." He said, "Why?" He said, "Even if it's 1 hour my father has, he will play with us."
the time he has, he will play with us. He will just sometimes my children are coming to my room, they are laughing. They have not met me, they have not seen me. Is that the instant I say? They just start laughing. So when they come and I just say one thing, they increase the laughter. Say, we know you are going to make us just laugh. As we are sit down, what's happening? How's your day going? We have time. Don't say they are small. Children of 9 and 10, you don't know what they know. Children of 15, don't say they are small. Talk to them. Talk to them. Give them that attention. The way you love them as a man of God, we make them love God. The way you despise them, we make them hate God. Some of them, when you have no attention for them, they feel God has taken away their father. God has taken their mother, so they hate God. They hate church. Anything church, they don't want to hear. Because if you are rebuking them, you use scripture. You don't even talk natural. Stand up from there! You are sleeping. No wonder the Bible says, spare the rod and spoil the child. My friend, stand up there! What kind of son is this? You see, the Bible was talking about that a foolish son bringeth reproach to the father. You have never spoken to your child naturally as a father. Let him see the naturality in you. Let him see the let him see his friend. Let him see his friend. All my kids, I have nickname for them. If I don't call their name, all of them have their nickname. I only call their names. I call them by the nickname I gave them. All of them, I gave them nickname. Up to my last baby. When she is with the phone, how she knows it's me. I'm the only one who calls her that. When I call her, she too. She say, Daddy. She knows this man is the only person who calls me this name. That's the level of friendship that we have. Please, this is important. Do you have the questions? We'll take the questions before I continue. I have just one more last lap to touch. We would have given you opportunity to ask questions now. Give me a pen. What you do, you can ask like 2, 3. If you are doing the 1-1, it will take time. Ask like 2 or 3 so you can answer. These are questions written by pastors here, and I promise you are going to answer them. So, you answer them one, ask them one by one.
Thank you, Daddy. First question. My wife is still talking with her ex-boyfriend after several warnings. The last one, she still went ahead to buy the charge card for him. Now, I have lost trust and love for her. What do I do to restore my love for her, sir? Number 2. More grace, Father. I am engaged to a slim lady who possesses the characters I love. But I love a fat lady because she's not fat. I have issue with that. Daddy, what should I do? Go ahead to marry her, or should I look for a fat one? But I'm afraid because of character.
Can I answer the two now?
Yes, sir.
Can I answer the two? The first one is the wife is still talking to her ex-boyfriend.
Yes, sir.
And he has lost trust.
Yes, sir.
Now we all shouted. Let me say something. We are men of God, we are servants of God, but marriage has a human side. If your wife is talking to her ex-boyfriend, it's obvious she has a problem with her spiritual life. That's basic. She needs to know what sanctification is. But I would advise that you have a talk with your wife before you scream or shout. What does she see in him that you don't have? Be sincere, be frank, don't spiritualize it. It might even be the act of sex. It might be the care. It might be the way the young boy talks to. I know there are some young men, when they know a woman they dated before is now married, is the husband's home, and the woman now opens to them what she's going through. They capitalized on that. So sit your wife down and find out what is that thing that she sees that makes her communicate. That's one. And number two, hold her hand and lead her to Christ. She's not born again. Then you said,
the second one said, he's already engaged to a
slim lady,
but he loves fat.
You can pump her up. Give her food. Let me say this. I will not advise him to go ahead. I can only counsel a person who is already in the marriage. When you are not married and you still have a chance to make a decision, you don't go ahead, because every time he sees a fat lady, he will be tempted. So marry the fat lady now, but just know, if she's fat before marriage, inside marriage, she will look like we are two or three are gathered. Make sure you are ready to cope. I will advise him to go ahead. I will not advise, because he's going to have that pain. And please, if you already gone far with her, look for something in her to love. There must be something other than a stature that you should love. Number three.
My wife have excessive anger and even me.
Even him.
Both of them, yes, that. She always wants to decide what happens in the house at my expense. I want to repent, briefing and shouting at my wife. I want to repent from barking and shouting at my wife. Number four. Please, sir, I have these problems about my wife. Naturally, not the type that I like sex. And this thing is very big challenge to me, sir. I'm emotionally, and that gives advantage to the spirit of lust over me. What should I do, sir? I need help.
You don't like sex, but you have lust. Let me answer. Which number is that? He said he has a problem with his wife. The first one said he has what?
Both of them have excessive anger.
Excessive anger.
So he's now talking for himself now that he wants to stop it. Stop barking and shouting at the wife.
I think both of you have the same problem. It's both of them that need help. Only the word of God can mold you. Only the word of God can build you. The Bible says, he that has no control over his spirit is like a city without walls. It's not defended. And both of you need to sit down, address what your weaknesses are. Before I got married, that was my problem. It was so terrible. If you say something, I will reply you. Anything you want, I will give it to you. My wife started praying. There are some things that will happen now. Some of the pastors, like Reverend Kingsley, Fidelis, John, they will ask them, when it happened, was Papa there? They say, yes. And he kept quiet. They say, this man don't change. Because they know the way I handle their matter. The other day I was working with Reverend John. We were walking. And I greeted an elderly woman. And John just walked past. I made sure we got far. I said, turn back. That mama go and greet her, good afternoon, ma, and come. He said, but sir, I told you, I said, go there. Go and greet. He had to trek. Greeted. As minor as that. But today, because a woman has come into my life and took it as a prayer point and prayed about it. So, both of you address that issue. Do not pretend you don't know what the problems are. Sit down. I get angry easily, you get angry easily. What do I do that leads to your anger? She will tell you. Then tell you what you do. Then both of you begin to avoid the things that lead to anger. And over time, that spirit starts breaking from your life. Then the second man said, he's not the type that likes sex, but he has lust.
It's a man.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes. It's a man that said he doesn't like sex, but he has lust.
Is that? Read it.
I have problem. Okay, I have this problem that my wife, naturally not the type that likes sex.
Okay, his wife doesn't like sex.
Yes, sir. But he has lost.
Meaning he likes it.
Yeah, he likes it.
But the wife doesn't like it.
Yes, sir.
He has lost.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Now that is a deep one. There is, listen to this, spiritual men. There is no woman that doesn't like something that is done well. There is no woman that doesn't like something that you do to her well. It can put the desire in her. If you don't do it well, she will always be fasting when you are coming. There are some men, if the man says he likes that and the wife doesn't like it, we need to ask you how. Like I said, there are people that spiritualize love making. And there are some men who need to be trained and to be taught. Because he grew up in the church. All his life, in fact, he was to go to seminary before God called him. Now he's a child of God. He doesn't know anything. There are people that have got him married. They come and meet mama. The man will say he has been trying. The wife say, I'm feeling pain. I say, it's not my ministry. Go and meet your mother. And I will laugh at my heart. The man will be praying before they do anything. They will pray. This thing we are about to do, Lord. They will pray. Father, we ask for your grace. We ask for your strength. They will pray. So I to say, that thing, you don't start it with prayer. So, if the man has a wife who doesn't like it with him, there are three answers for you. What you are doing, you should do it well. Number two, your wife might be possessed with a spirit husband. When a woman has a spirit husband, she will not allow her husband touch her, no matter how nice the man is. Number three, you may have done something that has killed her trust. So anytime you are coming, she's not interested. Next question.
Number five. When your wife used about 30 to 40 minutes to take opening prayers on Sunday, and you try to correct her, and she's not happy, she said you can't stop her. Number six, what do you do when your wife go on strike for sex because you refuse her to preach, and she don't know how to preach?
If you give your wife a mic, she used 30, 40 minutes.
Yes, sir.
I think in my preaching I answered that question.
Yes, sir.
Give her a particular service. That is her own service. Let her do beyond opening prayer. Just give her a service. Carve a meeting for her. Let her handle it. Then, the second is said, if the wife...
She goes on strike for sex because she's angry on that issue of preaching. That you're not giving her pulpit, but she doesn't know how to preach. According to the question.
She doesn't know how to preach.
Yes, sir.
You teach her. If a woman doesn't know how to preach, you teach her how to preach. But she has no right to go on strike. Your body belongs to your husband. Oh, so brother, I understand. The brother is clapping very hard. Your body belongs to your husband. Your husband's body belongs to you. You have no right to deny him his constitutional right.
Question 7. What do you do when your wife is always reporting issues to children? Tribal issues.
What children?
The children in the house. Their children. The wife is always reporting the husband to their children. Then question 8. Dad, what do you do anytime you try to correct your wife on ministerial mistakes as she picks offense?
Let me talk about that of the children. If your wife reports you to your children, it speaks of one thing. She's closer to them than you. There's a gap. Build the gap that your wife, the advantage she has over you on the children. Draw them close and let them hear your side of the story. And not let them know that when your mother talks to them, they should ignore it. It is adult stuff. It's not for children. Because if the woman keeps doing that, she's destroying the future of those children. She's giving them ideas that they don't need. Are you following me? So if you're a woman, you are destroying your husband before the children. You are the one that will suffer it. Because a time comes that, do you know why children, when parents are trying to tell them about themselves, they are not interested? Why children? Look at what your mom, please, that you should go and tell to yourself. That's a wise child. So you never report your husband or your wife to your child, but rather speak positive words about your spouse to your child. Let the child grow up seeing the father as a role model. Because if you destroy the father and he sees the father as nothing, when she needs a father figure in her life, she will go outside and look for one. And the pain will bounce back on you. The next question.
9. I'm a minister in my local church. I have the problem of lust, which I'm controlling until I fell victim of an immoral case. Presently, I'm diagnosed with HIV, taking drugs. Now, please, I need help, Papa.
Next.
Question 10. My name, okay. And Daddy, my question goes like this. Why, if all these things you've told us had already happened, what can you do to be restored? For example, if a pastor lost after a church member because of a suppression of his wife denying him in bed, and the pastor's weakness is woman, what next can that pastor do to overcome the spirit of lust?
I think the two questions are almost the same.
Yes, sir.
Okay, open to Job, the book of Job 31. Read verse 1, Job 31, verse 1.
I made a covenant with my eyes, why then should I take upon a maid?
Proverbs chapter 6, verse 25 to verse 27. Lust not after her beauty in thy heart, neither let her eye lead, eye extension. Those eye extension that they put there. For by means of a warish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. And the adulteress will hunt for the precious life. 27. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? If you be free from immoral pressures, there are three things you must know. Number one, immorality shortens a man's lifespan. It shortens a man's life. You can't escape it. Number two, it kills your performance, your gifting, your spirituality. You can't perform at your maximum. It keeps you on the average level. Once you are morally sound, your antenna is sharp. Your gift is alive. You can pick signals. Things happening around you. You are alert. Immorality kills it. Number three, you need deliverance. You need help. If you are in that category and you have that problem, when we start praying, we will pray with you. The yoke will be destroyed. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The next.
Question 11. A man is separated from the wife for 5 years. And she has been going about sleeping with other men. Eventually, she went to marry another man. And it's a pastor. The pastor is now asking, should he remain unmarried?
The next.
12. Daddy, whenever I'm making love to my wife, I don't enjoy it. And as such, I can't ejaculate. Not until I begin to imagine myself having sex with somebody else. It is at this point I will begin to enjoy the sex and finally ejaculate. I'm worried because I can't enjoy this with my wife. A pastor.
We know it's a pastor. if your wife has married another man, you are not bound. The Bible says you are not bound. But make sure you dissolve that union. Totally. That's what some people don't know. They just say, okay, this person has moved on. has married somebody else or is cohabiting with somebody, they jump into a marriage. No. Before you jump, dissolve. Call the two families. Your family and her family has to meet. She's with a man now. Your family, families have to meet and they should return the dowry. You dissolve. She didn't dissolve it before she moved. You dissolve it. Because the Bible says once the woman has moved on, you are no more bound. It's the truth. You are no more bound. You are not bound. You confirm she is. In fact, when adultery, fidelity has come in, that's why I told people that I don't support divorce. No, I don't support divorce. But divorce is not something that is totally ruled out in some issues. Anywhere there's an exception, it's no more a law. A man shall not put away his wife, except once there's an exception, it's not a law. When a woman, there are some marriages that I counsel separation. There are women that are very violent. When they are fighting, they carry sharp objects. I will tell the woman, go to your parents for some time. Instead of two people to go to her, let them separate for some time. You go this way while we are praying and see what God will do. There are men who have lost their lives. They are dead. Some women practically matrix their husband because they believe there's no option. They feel as a man of God, he can't do anything. He can separate. You can't kill him. And the man who says, if he's making love to his wife, he has to think of somebody else. I don't understand that. How do you think of somebody else when you are with somebody else? That's the spiritual problem. Oh.
Yes, sir.
Because the Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 28, whosoever looks at a woman lustfully to what? To lust after in his mind. He says he has already, so that man is a strategic adulterer. Because I don't know, you need God to work on your mind. The problem you have is not your wife, it is you that have a problem. It's you that have a problem, it's not the woman who has a problem. Because she is okay with you, you are not okay with her, it's you that have a problem. And if you are in the crowd, see me after service. Your problem is an emergency. To be with somebody and you are thinking of somebody else, you need a lot of help. The enemy wants to make you lost or go after that person. Because if you are not careful, very soon you are going to fall with that person. Or you may have already done it. You have already done it. And you enjoyed what you did. So it keeps coming back. And it's not everything you said in that note. So we'll see. If you are in that category, or you are that person, try and see me. The next question.
Question 13. We have been married since about 2015. And there's no issue in the marriage yet. And my wife is always running to her parents for help. And her parents told her that the problem is because of the ministry. Now, church members are getting to know about this, sir. What do I do? Question 14. I met a lady that had been married to a man for 5 years, but the man was an unbeliever. But eventually they are divorced, and the lady's parents have returned the dowry back to the other man. Should I go ahead and marry her?
Yes. Now, the first one.
The first one, the man is saying that the parent-in-law are saying that the reason they don't have a child yet is 2015.
I think the lady needs to grow up. Because if you have your parents' home as an alternative, it means you have not yet grown. You need to grow up. That's a problem of immaturity. If you want the fruit of the womb and you're always in your parents' house, how will you get it? The carrier of the fruit is at home. And you carry the womb to your parents. The carrier of the fruit have to meet with the carrier of the womb so that they can be fruit of the womb. So always be around your husband. Always be around your husband. And let me say something. I need to tell you this. Can I? There are many times you are believing God for the fruit of the womb. And you want children. It's okay to pray. But sometimes I advise you to seek medical counsel. There are times you need to see a doctor. You need to know what is wrong. When the doctor says both of you are perfect, there's nothing wrong. You now know what you are confronting with. What you are battling. But there are people who are, so some men will refuse to go for medical check. They say they have faith. Faith is substance. Faith is not fiction. So most times I advise couples, you go and see a doctor, let's know what the matter is. If you are rebuking, you are binding, let's know what you are binding. So if there are problems with fruitfulness, I would advise sometimes we seek medical help, they will know how to address it. So if she's always going to her parents, it means she needs to grow up. And it means the parents also need to help her. There's no way you can be pregnant when you are not at home.
Question 15, sir. I hate having sex with my wife, but I don't know why. Same person, 16. When I'm angry, I can unleash it on anyone around me. 17, same person. She's very, very disrespectful to me, but love other men of God outside. She never support me in any way, but regretted marrying me because she normally say that she needs a man she can control.
That may not be the way she put it, or that may not be the way the woman put it. The man say when he's angry, he can unleash on anybody. Which woman will not regret marrying that kind of man? You are angry, you can unleash. And when you unleash it on a woman, anger, she can say things that she doesn't mean. And so when she says she wants to control, she may not, your anger may have moved her. The foundation of the problem here now is you. Address your anger. She, the other men of God she likes, she may like them because the way she sees them relating with their wife. The way she sees them, you know, having fellowship with their wife. So she likes that, and you don't do that. Whatever you want in your partner, you see another partner, transplant it. Put it in your partner and enjoy it. Don't keep eyeing that person. Transplant it. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Question 18, Dad. Papa, I fell into a woman in my church, and I confessed it to my wife. And the lady has come to tell my wife to confess. But the lady keeps sending insulting messages to my phone. What do I do?
I don't understand.
He fell in love with a woman in his church, and eventually told the wife. But lady now went to meet the wife, and the wife also let the whole church know about it. So because yes, Daddy. So because they've not told the church, so lady now keeps insulting the pastor.
Messages. It's the blocker line. Blocker line. If is the confession is good, it's very good. The Bible never permits us to confess publicly to the church. When somebody did that, I was a little bit confused because the person you really offended is your partner. Confess to your partner. Confess to the Lord. So, if the woman says she go and tell the old church, it means she has a plan.
What old church?
She came for an assignment. She wants to destroy that work. So, there is a block button on phones. And God will bless the person that invented it. There are people that send you a message you don't want, you block their numbers and get your sanity. Thank God for you that you were bold enough to tell your wife. So you have already gotten victory. Because the strength of the devil in marriage is unconfessed sin. Once you have been bold to tell her, let the lady go to hell. If you try that again, you can even get her arrested. Now the Bible says, at this age, having the readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. So you have a good wife. You have a good wife who could take you in and could take you to herself. So it's now left for your wife to pick up that fight. It's now her fight. Those messages, as you send them to you, if you don't have a block button, forward them to your wife. Let your wife forward it back to her. Let her know you are getting the messages. It's now between them. Amen. All right.
19. My wife and I always quarrel even before I came to this meeting. Especially when
before
I
this meeting. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Anytime I sense any good thing coming, there will always be a quarrel. God told me she is controlled by the Python spirit. I told her she disagreed with me. We have been married since 2016 till now, no child. Question 20, Daddy. I dated a girl and I engaged her and she accepted, but her mother refused to let us get married, all in the name of traveling abroad to Canada. Dad, to take that issue out of her mother, because the mother's disagreement, argument came in and she got angry and returned all my engagement property, the ring. Since then, I have tried my best to reconcile the relationship. All efforts are proven abortive. What should I do, Dad?
Is it by force? Let her go. Her mother refused. She has now refused. What is your problem? God, somebody who is eager to travel abroad and you want to marry as a pastor. She loves abroad. God is giving you deliverance already. Let her go. The first one said what?
The first one said God told him that the wife has python spirit. That is the reason why when something...
No problem. No problem. The only thing that we have to know which God. There's Amadioha. There's Arushi. There's Shongo. We need to know which God that told you your wife has a python spirit. You see, so many men, their natural weakness is being spiritualized. You were on your way here. You and your wife quarreled. And God has already told you that she has a python spirit.
Okay.
When a wife is possessed and has a demon, a man from Ikare, he told me the wife has 17 powers. So that's what is troubling. And as if you as a man of God cannot minister to a wife who has got 17 powers, then you don't need to have a church. Your wife has cast python spirit, cast it out. Cast out the python spirit and still marry her. Why a man screams like this? There are some men, we need to know what you do. There's a way you treat a woman and you get a reaction. That's the truth. There's a way you treat a woman and you get a reaction. So if your wife has python spirit, cast it out.
Question 21 or 23? 21. Lust. I have in me lust, lying spirit, and anger. 22.
Wait. One person?
Yes, Dad. 22. I don't have feelings for my wife. 23. I don't listen to my wife's advice.
Is this the same man? Okay. He has anger.
Yes, Dad.
He has lust.
And lying spirit.
And lying.
Yes, Dad.
He should leave the pulpit. He should leave the pulpit first. If you have such vices and also you don't have feelings for your wife, just leave the pulpit first. Address your life. And if you have changed, the first person that will know is the woman in your house. For now, take a break from the pulpit. Don't preach. Go back, address yourself. There is no character, no negative vice that a preacher should have. But this what you mentioned should not be found in a pastor at all. So for now, withdraw from the pulpit and have a retreat. Address yourself. If you have a mentor, approach him so he can place you on spiritual exercises before you think of coming back to the pulpit.
Question 24, Dad. Papa, thanks for this great opportunity. I am addicted to pornography and masturbation, and I'm married. My wife knows of it. 25. As a pastor that is waiting and believing God for direction and the ministry where I acknowledge my calling does not believe on women in ministry and they want to ordain me, and my wife is a pastor, what should I do? And the ministry does not believe in mentorship also.
Let me show you something about pornography in the Bible. You don't know pornography is in the Bible? It is. 2 Samuel 11. Verse 2. Have you found it? And it came to pass in the evening tide that David arose from off his bed
and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. The woman was very beautiful to look upon. Pornography. Free. David was watching free pornography. What happened next? And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite?" Most pastors, some ministers, are bound with the spirit of masturbation. Ministers of the gospel. And they don't see it as sin, because they believe that somebody else is not involved. It is a sin. Any thought of evil will one day produce evil. And we see what happened to David. You know the story. How did it start? How did it start? You can't have lust and it leaves you until you start putting things in place to let it go. Cut off from it. God can deliver you from it. We heard the pastor testify here that he got free from it. God can deliver you from it. So if you are bound with such spirits, those are part of the things we are going to address when we start praying. God will deliver you from it. In the name of Jesus.
27, for my evangelist, I have challenge of anger. 28, I have challenge of unforgiving spirit. 29, I have challenge of not going to school. What do I do, Daddy?
Challenge of not going to school.
That means, in other words, he's saying because he's not educated, it's affecting the ministry.
Like, go to school. The only way to stop not going to school is by going to school. At every level, you can be educated. There is adult education. At every level, there are certificate courses. At every level, if you want to be educated, you can. So that's not something that's an issue. But you see, presently in our church, in our ministry, if you are not a graduate, we don't ordain you. Yes. Because the way the ministry is going, in the future, it happened to one great man of God, one great man, I won't call his name. When the fire came upon that assignment, people were leaving their school, leaving their academics, leaving everything to enter the ministry. 1998, he fired everyone that is not a graduate. He fired all. Why? Because, do you know that teenagers can come to a pastor and say, "Help me select which course I will read in school." If you are not educated, what will you say?
Yes,
you start praying. So it's very important. And they talked about being in the ministry. There was a question by somebody in the ministry where they don't believe in women.
Yes, sir.
If you are in the ministry, you should submit to what they believe in. You cannot be in a ministry and they don't believe in certain things and you are rebelling. So long you are there, you should be loyal to what they believe in. You can't rebel. We know that women are, when they say, "Let women keep silent in church," I've taught the story of what happened. It has nothing to do with preaching. But if your ministry does not believe in it, follow what the ministry says. So long you are there, you must believe in what they believe in. If they are ordaining you and not ordaining your wife, they have every right, because they are the leadership of the ministry. You cannot rebel against them.
Question 30. I married a Fulani woman, and the issue seems to be identified with all our sisters. The issue: most times I want to enter Jerusalem, she will not be ready. She is resulting in anger. What do I do?
We have answered a question like that before. We answered something like that before.
31. My family.
Can we just take like 5 more?
Okay, Daddy. 31. My family is a polygamous family. No one ever blessed in their marriage. Then in my marriage, I made a covenant with God to stay in my marriage. Despite that, I still see challenges, troubles, a lot of lack of peace in my marriage. Please, I need God's help.
He will help you.
Amen.
Next question.
32. God spoke to me that I should always listen to my wife. Now in ministry, whenever I want to come up with ideas to carry out programs or new innovations in the church, she always turns it down. What should I do in this case?
If God spoke to you, God knows that she has good counsel to give to you. But your presentation matters a lot. How you present something matters a lot. If you present something in a very rash manner, the response you get, you may not like it. If God told you, listen to your wife, please listen. Anyhow she takes it, listen. But make sure your presentation is okay. God cannot tell you to listen to somebody who has nothing to say.
33. My question is, sir, you love your wife and you want to show her love by playing with her and she doesn't want it. What will you do?
By what?
By playing with her and she doesn't
play.
Want it. Playing. Playing.
Okay. And there are different kinds of play. There must be a play she likes. She may not like the particular play you are initiating. So you have to look for what she likes and play with it. Every woman likes to be happy. Everyone likes to be happy around a partner, around the husband. Everybody likes it. But you must know what she likes. Amen. There are some plays that are very muscular. Muscle kind of play. You carry your wife on your head and run with her. See, when you drop her eyes are turning her. What kind of play is that? So know what she likes. You can ask her. You can discuss with her. You will find out what she likes. And when you know what she likes, you do it. Yeah.
3-1, daddy. The last one. 34, 35, 36. A situation where you have a wife and she's not ready to say sorry for any wrong. 2. Or admit her wrong any day. When she's wrong. 3. No matter what you do for her, she will not appreciate. What do you do?
You keep teaching her and keep praying for her. Keep teaching her by your own action. When you are wrong, say sorry. Initially, she will capitalize on that to always want to make you do it. By the time you add prayers with it, she will change. There's nobody that God cannot change. No matter the character of the partner, no matter how bad that partner is, God can change the partner. Even if it's a demonic problem, there are families today where the father had marital crisis. The pastor is now a man of God. The same signs are showing forth. There are families where ladies to stay in their marriage is a crisis. Now the same sign is showing forth in their own home. God has power to deliver. God has power to deliver. Hebrews 7:25 says, he's able to save to the uttermost them that come to God through him, believing that he ever liveth to make intercession for them. So today, as we pray now, anything that God has not planted that wants to mess you up in your marriage, I see freedom coming your way. Let's be on our feet. I see freedom coming your way. I can't hear your amen loud. I see freedom coming your way. Father, I want to thank you. I want to pray for two things the Lord told me. As a pastor, you are here. And you know you have spiritual attacks, spiritual problems via dreams, via oppression. You have prayed about it, it wouldn't stop. No matter how much you fast, once that dream comes, it brings you back to square one. It has been on for long. If you are in that category, come forward. Let me pray with you. Once that dream comes, sometimes it can be you seeing yourself in your former building. It can be you seeing yourself in an old house, your family house. Once that thing shows up, once it shows up, no matter the fasting, it's like you start from square one. It has removed favor from your life. It has removed your opportunities. It has kept you on one spot. Begin to cry to the Lord. Begin to cry to the Lord. Ask the Father for help. Ask the Father for help. Ask the Father. Upon Mount Zion there shall be deliverance and holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possession. Ask him for help. Lord, help me. Help me. Set me free from foundational oppressions. Spirit of setback. Retrogression.
Help me. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. In Jesus' name, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I join my faith with your faith, and I decree that experience is over forever. That demonic gadget that triggers such attacks is over forever. Whatever God has not planted, any symptom you are carrying that triggers and opens you up for retrogression, seeing yourself in old buildings, in your hometown, in your former location, in school uniforms, seeing yourself writing an exam that you never finished, all those manipulations, they die today. They die today. They die today. In the name of Jesus, I decree you are free. You are free. In Jesus' name. Congratulations. You are free. God has given me authority. Trample on serpents and scorpions, and they shall find no enemies hurt me. I'm walking in the Lord has given me the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions, and they shall find no enemies hurt me. I'm walking in walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking
in
authority.
Walking in
dominion. I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in dominion.
I am walking in dominion.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
Walking in authority.
I am walking in authority.
We have. I've written a number of books, but there are two particular books I will advise every pastor to get. One of them is Success in Life and Ministry. If you have read that book, you will know what I'm saying. It's thick. And another one, The Home, God's Interest. Get these books. Do you have copies there? Get these books, I advise. The copies are limited, so try and get it. It's like an encyclopedia of a glorious home. It teaches you about the temperaments of a man, the kind of husbands, the different kinds of wives, so that you look at your wife, you know where she belongs to and how to handle her. It's important you get a copy. So if you need to get a copy now, you can step forward and the ushers will give you a copy. If you have your seed that was called forth yesterday, step forward with them. If you need a book, come and how much is it? Cast the seed on the altar. Have we been blessed? Open your oil if you brought it. Can some come this way, honey? Honey, can some come this way? That way, over there. No, not in front of the altar. Open it. Kingdom come by power. Kingdom come
by power. Kingdom
come by power. That this becomes a voice like the blood of Abel that crieth. Your word says in Exodus 30:30, thou shalt anoint Aaron and his sons that they may be able to minister to me in the priest's office. I decree ability in this oil. Let it be turned from olive oil to the bodily presence of the Holy Ghost. You say, I have found David my servant, and with my only oil have I anointed him. This becomes only oil. Anything it touches, let heaven show up. Let heaven show up. Let heaven show up. Let heaven show up. Bondages be broken. Barrenness be broken. You will anoint photographs and things will happen. This voice will cry against kidnap. This voice will cry against witchcraft. This voice will cry against poverty. It will cry against barrenness. It will cry against death.
In the name of Jesus.
It is done. Anoint yourself and make declarations. Thank you, Lord. It is done. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I pray for your ministry. I pray for your marriage. I pray for your home. I decree you will be a minister without blemish. I decree as you go back, may the God that made the heavens and the earth, may He announce your work. You will not die. You will fulfill all that God has told you to do. Your time has come. In Jesus' name. All foreign delegates, can I see you? Step forward. Please, let's not be in a hurry. Let's remain standing, please. All foreign delegates, just kneel down. Kneel, spread yourself. Kneel down. All those from out of Nigeria, just kneel down. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. For lay hands on you, you go. Grace upon you. Return with grace and glory. Grace and glory. You return with grace and glory. Grace and glory. Grace and glory. Let grace do what gift could not do. Go and be favored. Go and be favored. Go and be favored. Go and be favored. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Grace, 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 grace. Grace, grace, return back with grace, a new beginning, grace, 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 grace. The layers on you, ministerial battles are over. Family contentions, strivings of hell, may they come to an end. Grace, grace. 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 You deserve. You deserve. Grace. You deserve. The lifting of my hands. Grace. 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 Grace, 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 grace. 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 I laid hands on you before. Go back. Grace. You did that. Hallelujah. It is well with you. Hold an offering if you have one. Hold an offering in your hand. Let's put a seal on all the Lord has done for us. And we are praying that by March when we are coming, the testimonies that we will hear as a result of this meeting shall be overwhelming. You saw people standing here to testify. You will be the next to testify. In Jesus' mighty name. Lord, we bless you. We bless our seed. In Jesus' name. The rain of miracle is falling on you today. Oh, let it fall. Even let it fall.
Oh, no, I can't be the case. Thank you.
With you. May he cause his face to shine continually on you. All we will be hearing concerning you is good news. The Lord God Almighty has cast out thine enemies. There shall be no shame in the midst of thee. I decree by the power of the Holy Spirit that this season in your ministry, the Lord will use you to advertise his power. Mountains are brought low. Valleys are exalted. As you return back, the ungodly in the camp that have covered themselves with strange garments, they will reveal their true identity. In Jesus' name. Your time has come. My head is a good head. My life is a good one. Angels shall fight for me. Greatness on my side. Goodness shall follow me. I want to shake up with five, but tell them I'll see you in March. God bless you.